I think I mentioned that. You know what I mean? They used a spring. They believed in using a spring net. They liked that outfit.
Well, what is a spring net? Kind of that a little bit for us then.
Well, they're set tight and left that way. See,
out on this post that you
know. No, there's no post. There's anchors. This is submarine nets.
Oh, the submarine nets.
Yes, and they're just set in one solid string, and real tight. And they had to take a line and bring it to the top with a buoy on, and then they would hook this buoy on a winch and force that net to the top of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And to lift it.
And then what would that do? Then what did that do to the fish?
It didn't do nothing to the fish. It didn't harm or it didn't hinder.
No, but I mean, did that, in your operation, you said the fish would all go to one end of the net.
Yeah.
This still was the same.
Yeah. They had to bring that net up out of water and crawl
mm-hmm.
under there with a boat. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then they would shoal the same as we do after.
Mm-hmm.
See? But we always thought the downing hauling was better. To loosen the net and go under, and then when you get all done, tighten the net up by force.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew then you had a tight net. With a spring net, if you ever got a little slack, you always had a little slack in that net. We never cared for that.
Mm-hmm. Now,
is that running up?
Most of the boats that you went out in the bay, you had motor boats, right?
Power boats, yeah.
Power boats. Now, what did you did you fish before there were motor boats? Or would you know, did they used to have to row out?
No,
before there were motors?
Oh, no. They used to use sailboats.
Sailboats?
Yes.
Years ago. Were you involved in that at all?
Well, I had a sailboat, but I never used one for fishing.
Oh.
Just for pleasure.
But do you know anything, or talking from old timers, how this worked with the sailboats?
Oh, it was terrible. Sometimes they'd get out in the bay and lift nets, and they just couldn't hardly get back because they had no wind to push them.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be hours late sometimes getting back in.
Uh-huh. Well, and then the operation that you described at Bayport, would sailboats wouldn't even have worked with that with the winches, did they fish with sailboats too out of Bayport?
Well, then they didn't have no winch, no. You had to have power for.
You had
to have power for the winch.
Now, were there ever between the Sebring and the Bayport fishermen? Were there any feuds according to the fishing rights or the fishing waters?
Very little. Very little between Bayport and Sebring. Bayport generally kept their distance.
Mm-hmm.
Sebring done the same.
Everyone pretty well had their place spotted and
there are certain fishing grounds, and once in a while somebody would horn in, but it was quite peaceful as far as that goes.
Mm-hmm. Did we miss any fish that we haven't talked about? Now we talked about walleyes, and we've talked about carp. Were there other fish that you fished too?
Herring. They at one time Saginaw Bay was full of herring. Caught them by the tons and tons. Sometimes boats would come in with five tons of herring. And they are practically now depleted.
Well, now were they there all the time, or was this another thing that they planted the spawn, or was
no? As far as
they
I
were there, and they were just fished out.
Right.
Is it fished out?
Yeah.
And what about perch?
No one has any knowledge. What happened to the herring? They have no answer.
They don't blame that on pollution.
They don't blame it on pollution because herring really.
It was before the there
the
was that much
got
pollution.
So thick, yes.
Mm-hmm. So then you probably would would think that it, they were just fished out. Do you think, or was it such a thing that one year they were plentiful and the next year they're, that, that it was way down, that it went way down?
Well, I would say that they more or less was fished out because they had no answer. They should have put a stop to it. I blame the department because, you know, at one time there was a lot of small herring, and the department had no limit on them or nothing. And the, some of the commercial fishermen, they throwed them on the market for fox food and everything else. Mm-hmm. They finally depleted Saginaw Bay.
Well, could they be planted again?
I would say so, yeah.
Or do you think that everything is has gone up in price, that it isn't worthwhile fishing?
Well, they'd be a good market for herring today. You know, they charge big money for herring in the market.
Mm-hmm. What about perch? Now, did you fish perch on a commercial basis?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We caught a pile of perch.
Now, where did you
send
them?
There's still perch here. Our perch hasn't been depleted. They're fishing them today yet, you know.
But more on a sport basis.
No, they fish them out of Bayport. From different places, they're fishing perch yet, mm-hmm. with nets.
How would you say the price of fish compares nowadays to what the price used to be when you first were fishing, say?
Well, there's no comparison as far as that goes.
Well, but if we could have a little idea.
Due to the fact you can't touch walleye pike nowadays less than 75 cents to a dollar a pound.
Well, what were they when you fished?
And we sold a lot of them for $5.05 a pound.
There is a difference.
There is a difference. Yes, there is a difference.
Now, what about carp? Years ago, you fish carp years ago?
Yes, we used the same.
What was the price at that time?
We had a contract at one time for 5 cents a pound.
And what would you say carp is now?
Well, they're possibly maybe around the neighborhood of 10 cents.
So carp hasn't gone up that much, and it's not that much in demand?
Not that much in demand, and like you say, the transportation is so high to ship them.
Well, but why isn't carp eating around here?
Yeah, people around here like better fish.
Well, what is there about carp? Is it a soft fish or what? Is it more like a sucker?
Well, it seems like certain classes of people use carp.
Yes.
Now the Jews, they eat a lot of carp. They make what they call gefilte fish.
Oh, and that?
And they use carp in with other fish, you know, and that uses that their cheap fish up, you know,
uh-huh.
by making the filter fish.
Uh-huh.
We don't do that here.
Maybe we better look into the recipe, huh? With the high price of meat nowadays, we better get into the carp business. We said earlier, you mentioned about ice. Now, could you describe to us what the operation of making ice in wintertime?
Well, yes, making ice in the wintertime, wait till you got heavy enough ice to cut, you know.
Well, what
you
is
put on a power saw and you cut.
Well, what is how thick did the would the ice have to be in order for you to start?
We always like 10 inches to a foot, mm-hmm. made nice ice.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a power saw that you cut it in square blocks, and that was hauled in from the lake.
How large of square blocks did you? How large were your blocks?
About 22 inches square.
22 inches square.
And that was hauled in to the ice house, set up in the ice house. And
your ice house was a separate building from your fish house.
Yes, that
and it was well insulated.
Well insulated, and you set that ice up in there, and then you covered it heavy with sawdust.
Layer after layer, each layer.
Your ice house in the first place was built with foot walls or 8-inch, 10-inch walls, and that was packed with sawdust mm-hmm. for insulation. Mm-hmm. And then when you got your ice house all packed full of ice, then you put a great big heavy layer of sawdust over the top of that to keep the air from getting at the ice, and that's what kept the ice.
Otherwise, it was just solid.
And big solid block.
Now, what before you had power saws, what did you do?
Well, you had a saw by hand then. Yeah.
Do you have a special type of saw, or is it just the same type of saw a man has around the house?
Oh no! This was on a big circle saw.
Well, a circular saw.
Circular saw, and you cut a notch, say. Halfway through the ice, see, in the first place. You didn't cut all the way through. And then you had spots that you hit that, and that would snap right off in them blocks, you see.
Mm. And then how did you take it out of the... How did you take it out of the water?
You build a slide, you know.
Yes.
And you pulled that up. With horse or with power, you know, you pulled that up onto a truck with a grapple.
On a truck, not a sled. You didn't have a sled. You took a truck out on the ice.
Yes, we use trucks always. Mm-hmm. And it had what they call a grapple. You take 7-8 cakes at a time, and you put this grapple behind it, and then with block, mm-hmm. you haul that up onto the truck, and then you set it up on the truck. When you got a truckload, you hauled it to the ice house.
Mm-hmm. And that's the only work the fishermen had in the wintertime. Huh?
Outside of mending nets. You mended nets all winter.
Can't beat fishing in the wintertime, huh?
No, there was always lots of work in the wintertime. You had your ice to put up, and you had all your mending to do for spring. And that was kept you busy most of the winter.
Now, what was involved in mending nets?
Well, you had to patch the holes that was tore in it, and you know, and then you had to build some new nets every year.
Every year you had to
replace
them out.
Yeah. So there was always plenty of work in the wintertime for anybody that wanted to really fish.
Oh, now see here, I thought that the old fishermen just used to sit around the wintertime telling stories.
A few of them.
So, now, was any fishing done on a commercial basis in the wintertime?
Yes. Yeah. Used to set nets under the ice in the wintertime.
Now, but this would be a little different operation.
That's a different operation. You had to cut holes through the ice to set your nets.
Now, how large were the nets that you used for this? Or this was a different type of net?
Yes. It was a shoaler net because you had...
A what?
It wasn't as deep.
Oh. Okay.
And that was put underneath the ice, and it wouldn't dare to freeze onto the ice, you know.
Yes. And how would it, well, what was the shape of this type of a net?
Well, it was either small subs or hook nets that was fished under the ice.
A
hook net. Yeah.
Now, what is that? It has a round hoop, and then the net goes...
It has maybe 8 or 10 round hoops.
Yeah.
Which they call the pot.
Yeah.
See, and that could be put under the ice and anchored under there. And you could cut a hole in the ice.
A large hole.
Large enough to get that net out. You know what I mean? And you could lift that pot through that hole and take your fish out, and then put it back and tighten it up again under the ice.
Was there a lot of fishing done in the winter time?
At one time, yes. Quite a lot. Yes, quite a lot of fishing.
Well, as I said before, everyone knows that there are interesting characters. There were fishermen, and you must have known a few. Do you have any interesting things you could tell us about some men that...
Well, there was a lot of stories told among the fishermen, and...
I think we'd like to hear
a few. There was quite a saying at one time, do all fishermen lie, or do all liars fish?
did they ever figure out the answer to that?
I'll have to tell you one about an old guy down to Bayport. He had trouble with his neighbor. He bought himself a real nice soup bone, and he only used it 4 or 5 times. And his neighbor borrowed it. And he spoiled that soup bone by cooking onions with his soup. And he had when the neighbor brought it back, he had to throw it away because it smelled like onions.
Oh, oh, that sounds like a fishy story to me. No, but are there any interesting people that you know that in all your years of fishing that you'd like to tell us something about, an interesting person?
Oh, there was many interesting persons. You know, there were so many fishermen. They made a practice of trying to outlie the other guy. Yeah, I don't like to mention any names, you know.
Well, no, I just thought if you could tell us some interesting people without mentioning names. And just mention something about anyone that, without really mentioning names. You don't, are there any more stories that you have to tell us? About any, well, I mean, what weren't there some interesting things that would have happened that you could maybe tell us about, like, storms on the bay or anything, you know, sort of an exciting story about a fishing adventure or something,
that happened to fishermen so often that it was common.
Yes, but
to be caught in bad storms, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It was just common to get caught in
storms. But wouldn't there be some certain thing that maybe stands out in your mind that you could think of some one time that was maybe just a little worse?
Well, I can tell you one time. It was late in the fall, and we had some nets out over the Corian Reef, which was about 10 miles out in the lake. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that saved us, we went out there, we got a load of nets on, and it was freezing, and we got caught in a blow, and we couldn't unload, the nets were all frozen in one solid ball, and the only thing saved us was a great big body of slush ice.
How was that?
Well, you see, slush forms out in the lake, and you can have a big body of slush form in one place.
Yeah.
And that'll deaden the sea. Mm. And that's the only thing that saved us that time, was we happened to find a big slush body, and we got in there, and we could bail the water out of our boat and get righted up to where we belonged again.
So then, you mean, otherwise the water was so rough?
It was so rough that we couldn't unload our load because it was all froze together. And we were shipping water all the time. The water was coming in over the sides of the boat.
Oh,
that was a frightening deal.
I would think so. So anyway, so then when you got into the slush ice, then it was calmer, and you were able to
get the water bailed back out of the boat.
But you still weren't able to take care of your other problem of everything all frozen together.
Oh, no, no.
But you were able to come in.
We was able to come in, yeah. We made it before dark, just before dark.
So your wife wasn't even worrying about you. Your wife didn't know all the trouble you were going through.
I had a jacket on with a zipper, and that was one mass of ice. I had to go home and lay on the furnace for about a half an hour and thaw the ice off of me to get the zipper open.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. That was a terrible trip.
Well, do you have any other things that you could tell us about like that?
Well, that ain't that enough.
Well, Okay, if you can't think of any more fish stories for us, Mr. Leffler, I guess we'll have to call it quits here for today. And thank you very much for helping us out on this tape about commercial fishermen.
Well, you're entirely welcome.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.